The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Aware of this, after everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over his spirit. Now, since it was the preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that the legs might be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one soldier thrust a lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to a brand new feast day. Okay, here's the feast of Mary, the mother of the church. Brand new feast day just announced in March, which is why it's not in any of your books and you don't know any of the responses and you don't have the readings. Okay, it's all brand new. And from now on, it's going to be celebrated all throughout the world every year on the Monday after Pentecost, the feast of Mary, the mother of the church. Now, it's a new feast day, and to many people, it's a title that they're not terribly familiar with. Mother of the church is not a very old title. It was first used by Pope Benedict XIV in 1748. And if you're Catholic, that's not all that long ago. Okay, that's pretty darned recent. But the reality that it expresses goes all the way back to Good Friday, which is why we heard the gospel that we heard from the Gospel of John, where Jesus gathered together with his faithful apostles, his faithful disciples, and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and John, the beloved disciple, from the cross, says to Mary, "Woman, behold your son," and to John, "Son, behold your mother." Now, question for you this morning. Why does Jesus say those words? "Woman, behold your son," and "Son, behold your mother." Why does he say those words? Well, legally speaking, he was simply placing his mother under the care of St. John. We've always said that Mary was ever virgin and had no other children, and so now as she's witnessing her only child die on the cross before her eyes, this poor widow with no children, well, if there were any other children, the law would have placed Mary under their protection, would have passed to the next of kin. But that can't be the only reason why Jesus says this, because his words are very deliberate here. You know, he doesn't just say, "John, will you please look after my poor mother?" You know, that's all he meant, that's all he would have said. But listen now, he says two times the same thing. "Woman, behold your son." And "Son, behold your mother." Very, very deliberately establishing this relationship, because at this moment, when our Lord gives his life on the cross, divine grace flows from that cross into our souls. The forgiveness of all of our sins and the work of redemption is completed. The work of redemption, you could say, that began the moment the Blessed Mother said to the angel Gabriel at the Annunciation, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." In other words, just as Mary welcomed divine grace into the world by becoming the mother of the person of Jesus, she welcomes divine grace into the world right here at the foot of the cross and becomes, spiritually speaking, the mother of all of us, the mother of the church. Something the church wants us to be even more deeply aware of, that the Blessed Virgin Mary isn't just one more character in history. She isn't just one more saint among many. She has a unique role, bringing Jesus into the world, bringing grace into the world, and it's something that God the Father intended from the very beginning and is meant to be a part of our lives. Our spiritual lives are not complete without her. In Holy Week of 1980, in St. Peter's Square, there was a gathering of university students from all over the world, and one of those students, he managed to capture the attention of Pope John Paul II. And he said, "Holy Father, pardon me for noticing, but I looked all around St. Peter's Square, and I counted 162 different images of different saints, all to be seen here around St. Peter's Square, and not one of them is a picture of Mary, the Mother of God." And immediately Pope John Paul II answers, "Well then, we must complete the square." And he commissioned a brand new artwork that you can see from every point down below, anywhere you are in St. Peter's Square. It's a beautiful mosaic made of gold and blue tiles, and it's entitled Mater Ecclesiae, the Mother of the Church. And because they bricked up a window to make this mosaic, it's considered to be the final stones of St. Peter's Basilica, at last the completion of the church. The completion of your spiritual lives as well. Something we must remember this day and every day, to ask for her help, call upon her prayers to help us. Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for us.